You're listening to Health First, heard across Canada through the National Campus and Community Radio Association.
We have Dr. Eddie Fatikov with us today, and he is a medical doctor and a nutritionist. He's also the author of Dr. Fat Off: Simple Lifelong Weight Loss Solutions. So welcome, Eddie. It's great to have you on the show today.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
You are a board-certified physician. How did you become a nutritionist? They don't even, you don't really learn that much about nutrition as being a physician, do you?
Exactly. I think I had one course, and it was summed in with my biochemistry class for 2 weeks. But I actually was before I went to med school, my major was exercise science and nutrition, Bachelor of Science in Nutrition.
Oh,
and then I ended up going to chiropractic school. Didn't work out. I wanted to do something more, and ended up getting going to med school and becoming a board-certified internal medicine physician. So having that aspect of my life and me being a personal trainer when I was even younger prior to that just made me want to incorporate nutrition and prevention into my practice.
And what can you tell us about keeping, maintaining, or getting to our best weight for us and being able to maintain it?
Yeah, that's actually a great question. That's what I see in my office all day. Anybody can lose weight, right? Anybody can get on a fad diet, do any of the hot diets out. They'll lose the 20 pounds or 10 pounds or 30 pounds, and the problem is they gain it all back. So when I see my patients, I tell them, look, you guys are professional yo-yo dieters. You know how to do this. You can lose weight. The reason why you're seeing me is you want to keep the weight off. 5 years later, when you come see your doctor, you want to make sure you keep that weight off. And that's my goal, basically education and tell them. So I'm going to give you five tips today with your audience.
Great.
What they can do that will be a lifelong solution.
All right, let's go.
So tip number one, and what I do for my patients is I give them more bullet points. I don't tell them to change a specific diet, right? Because your diet is the one you're currently on. You just have to refine it and tweak it because it's based on your culture. It's based on the type of foods you grew up with. You know, if I tell my vegan patient, you know, eat a double hamburger with bacon and cheese, they're going to look at me like I'm crazy. If you tell a person who eats burgers all day to go eat, you know, in the morning kale soup, they're going to look at me like I'm crazy. So it's just kind of getting to know what individuals like and why they're eating what they're eating.
Okay.
For various reasons.
So you can just tweak your own diet rather than have to go to any specific crazy diet.
In the studies, if you say the word diet, 90% of the people fail. If it's more of a lifestyle and dietary changes and habits, you'll actually keep it, right? Because they're used to eating the food they're eating. They're not dieting. People who are vegan aren't dieting. That's the way of life. So I'm trying to incorporate little stuff in their current life that will actually be good behaviors. For example, so the Mayo Clinic guidelines in 2017 came out with their guidelines for fluid intake. So women 2.5 liters and men 3.5 liters because they pretty much said people in the United States are dehydrated. So now when I tell my patient, I need you to increase your fluid intake, they're drinking maybe a liter now and a bunch of coffee or caffeine products or Coca-Cola or Red Bull. Now they're going up to 3.5 liters. That does two things. One, it forces them to have less hunger urges, right? Because you don't know, is it a true hunger or is it that you're thirsty? If I take you out to 106 degree weather for a ball game, you'll know you're thirsty because it's hot outside, you're sweating, you don't want to get a heat stroke. But if I take you under air conditioning inside your house 6 hours later and I come up to you, are you hungry or are you thirsty? You're probably going to say you're hungry. But actually, you perspired about 750 mLs of fluid by being under the air conditioning versus a liter outside. So the next thing you do is you say, you know what? I want something to eat. You eat. Then after that, you're like, why am I so sluggish? You get irritable. You get cranky. You get anxious. Then you either have a caffeine product or some type of energy drink. And then by 7 o'clock at night, you sense a thirst. And you say, give me something to drink. But once you sense that thirst, you're already 3 liters dehydrated from what the study shows. So pretty much everybody in the United States, North America, is dehydrated because they're not getting the fluids, whether you live in cold weather or in hot weather. The biggest thing is, increase fluid intake to 3.5 liters and 2.5 liters. For males, 3.5, 2.5 females. And you'll notice a tremendous decrease in hunger urges and flushing out the toxins and weight loss.
Eddie, how do you get to that quantity? You must take a few weeks to get there.
Yeah, so I always tell them, okay, what are you drinking now? And two, you want to decrease the diuretics, right? Because if you're drinking 3-4 cups of coffee or drinking energy drinks, that's going to make you actually pee more and you're actually going to be more dehydrated. And then when I tell my patients, when you sense that you're thirsty, you're already 2-3 liters dehydrated, so you're playing catch-up. So So I tell my patients, you know, grab a big water bottle and just fill it up once or twice a day. And, you know, it doesn't have to be all water. It just has to be that amount of fluid intake. And then they'll realize, so before every meal, I tell them to drink something. Then they'll realize they're not as hungry. But yeah, it's not overnight. If you do 1 liter, go to 2 liters. I'm not expecting to go to 4 liters tomorrow. You know, not going to happen.
Okay. All right. So 2.5 liters for women and 3 for men?
3.5.
3.5 for men. Okay. So that's a lot of water. First tip number one, lots and lots of water. What's tip number two?
Tip number two, and I make it super easy when it comes to me. Tip number two is a probiotic. And here's why I say that's tip number two. They've done so much research on the gut microbe, it's just hard not to look at it at this point, whether it's with IBS or with other medical conditions. And they've actually done research for weight loss for probiotics. There's certain strains of probiotics that you can find in yogurt or in other products that actually help in weight loss. So when they did a recent study for 6 weeks, the average patient lost 10 pounds. So the question is, which probiotics?
Yeah.
There's which probiotics. Can I get one over the counter? Can I get a yogurt? So all yogurt has natural probiotics, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what I tell my patients is, you want the ones that cause weight loss. You don't want to go to just your general grocery store and just pick one up over the counter. You want the one that's actually going to help you. Some of the strains are Lactobacillus acidophilus, which you've probably seen Activia and some of the other brands. Bacillus ramus is another one. It's Saccharomyces boulardii. But there's a handful. There's only 3 or 4 that actually work in weight loss. And so I tell my patients, you could eat this in 2 pounds of vegetables, which most patients won't do, or you could take a probiotic. And then they'll see after 6 weeks, it's about a 10-pound weight loss. Not only will it help that, it will also help with digestion. It will help with insulin sensitivity, because people eat a lot of right spledna, they put sweet and low, they put all this stuff. What it does is it affects the gut microbe, and you actually increase your risk for diabetes. So we're taking these sugar substitutes that's supposed to help us for the diabetics, and it actually is causing diabetes because it's affecting the gut microbe. So by putting probiotics in there, you're actually preventing the weight gain and the cortisol and the hormones. So step number two is probiotics. So if you're a patient, first, step number one, food increase, step number two, probiotics, right there, you're already down 20 pounds. Not that hard, right? It's very doable, very approachable.
Mm-hmm. And then number three.
The three is a big one. And this kind of goes with the food intake. It's fiber. So patients will say, oh, doc, I eat plenty of vegetables, I eat fiber. And even if you're healthy, I counted up the fiber. Most people get maybe 6 grams, 7 grams of fiber. So the average recommended Institute of Medicine said 25 grams for women, 35 grams for men. Once again, the average person gets 5 to 7 grams. Now, I tell them, don't go overnight and do this because you're going to be bloated, you're going to be passing gas, you're going to have abdominal pain. So if you go 5 grams, go to 10 grams. If you're at 10 grams, go to 15 grams. Do it slowly. The probiotics will help because it'll break down the bacteria to help break down the fiber. And then I make it even simple. I'm like, you can get a fiber supplement or you can get a fiber bar that will have 10 to 15 grams, and the rest you can get from your diet. So that's an easy way of getting 25 to 30 grams of insoluble and soluble fiber. Now, fiber does 3 important things which people don't know. It actually helps with satiety. It helps with the feeling of hunger. So people who are always hungry, fiber will help suppress that. Second thing it does, it actually makes prebiotics. So people who are actually vegan or eat healthy, they have a good microbe. That's why they stay fit, is because they have a good microbe. They don't need to take a probiotic supplement, like patients who don't eat healthy. And if you have one bad meal, it affects your gut microbe for up to 5 days. That's why I tell my patients, start off with just taking a probiotic pill because it's easier to maintain towards your weight loss goals. Now, when people say an average person can lose fiber 15 to 20 pounds in just a couple of weeks. Imagine if you get your colonoscopy and the doctor cleans you out before you have your colonoscopy. All the patients say, doc, I feel 10 pounds lighter. That's how much constipation we have. We live in a society where it's mostly constipation. So that's about a 15-pound weight loss. So 10 pounds from the probiotics, 10 pounds from the water, about 15, 20 pounds from the fiber. You're down 40 pounds. I'm not even talking about medications or dietary changes. Just 3 things added to your current lifestyle, that if you drink more water, you're not going to be able to eat more because you'll be full. If you eat more fiber, you can be able to prevent the constipation, have better digestion. And if you have the probiotic, you're going to prevent the insulin sensitivity and other benefits you get for probiotics. And they're doing a study in Harvard right now where they're actually doing fecal transplants. They're taking family member species and putting it into patients for weight loss. So when people think probiotic is not a big deal, it's a big deal. And, you know, universities like Harvard are doing studies to explore it as a weight loss treatment.
This is fantastic. These are all very simple things that it's just a matter of putting them in place.
Exactly.
So number four, what would we do with number four?
Number four is phthalates. So what phthalates are basically, we like to call it as obesogens, stuff that cause weight gain. Chemical environmental disturbances, like the Endocrinology Society likes to call it. And it's stuff that you hear about, like, you know, the dye, the certain plastics. Like, think of a plastic water bottle. Mm-hmm. You leave it out in the sun or in your car. You come back in, it looks like it's a little bit melted, but you're thirsty, you drink it. Now, the phthalates leached into there. The phthalates is the adhesive that kind of holds it together, keeps the plastic stable. And so you drink it, you don't think anything of it. Then 30 minutes later, you're hungry. So what phthalates do, they affect the thyroid hormones, they affect progesterone, estrogen. They actually affect your hunger hormone, ghrelin. So let's just say you microwave something in a plastic, microwave some broccoli. Say, my doctor told me to eat this because it's healthy. He says, I'll feel fuller. So you eat the whole broccoli. 30 minutes later, you're hungry again. Then you're thinking in your head, well, why am I even eating this? The doctor said this will make me full. I'm hungrier than I was before. It's not the broccoli that made you hungry. It's the phthalates that leached out to the broccoli that when you ate it, increased your ghrelin hormone, the hunger hormone, and wanted you to eat more. And patients on average gain about 9 to 10 pounds with phthalates. So if you just eliminate that, and there are easy things you can do. Keep plastic out of the microwave, right? Choose your plastics wisely. Like they'll say, BPA-free water bottle, you know? And then the question I always hear, you know, make sure your water's filtered. Store it in glass containers or paper containers, you know? And the biggest thing I hear is, well, doc, I didn't leave my water bottle in the car. But how do you know in the warehouse where they held it for a month, how do you know it wasn't sunny there and they didn't leach out? You don't know that, right?
Right. So would dryer balls and makeup and all that kind of thing be part of the chemical problem as well? Like not just our foods and how we're cooking them?
Yeah. Detergents, actually makeup product line. Yeah, phthalates are found in basically in our food. It's found in our plastics. It's found in the air we breathe. It's everywhere. I mean, it's basically, even some of the air in populated cities increase risk for weight gain because of the chemical disturbances that cause weight gain. So
just breathing, you know, in certain cities.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, it's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But I tell my patients just, don't use a plastic water bottle and get a BPA-free water bottle and don't put plastic in the microwave. That's a 9-pound weight loss. Can you do that? Most of them say yes. So then I add it up to them. I'm like, look, you're already down 50 pounds and you're just on step number four. And that way, when they incorporate those steps, then the probiotic becomes part of their life. Then the fiber becomes part of life. But the fiber keeps you full. And so now that you're full and you're adding fluid to it, you're really full. So even if you were going to eat bad or you were going to eat a lot like you did the day before, you physically can't because you have so much fluid and you have so much fiber that you're just full, that you don't even want to eat. So by doing it that way, by doing it as a tip, by adding small things in their lifestyle, patients don't think about it, right? Think about it this way. If you ever went to a personal trainer, he says, go ahead and drink a protein shake after your workout, drink a protein shake in the morning, and then eat your regular diet. In your mind, you're like, okay, I could do two protein shakes. Well, what he really did was increase the frequency of the meals. He wants you to eat six meals a day. Subconsciously, you're just doing because you need it for your muscles. But really, you just added two meals in there to keep your metabolism going. So now you're at six meals a day. When if you went there the first time, you're like, doc, I only eat two meals a day. Or you go to train, I only eat once a day. But now you're technically eating four or five times a day, not thinking about it, you know? So it's just things that you kind of trick your brain into doing that work, that actually work.
Okay. We're going to have to go to a quick break, Eddie. And when we come back, we're going to learn more about how to get weight off and keep it off.